Greet each one of you in Jesus' name. I got a text from Brother Marcus a while ago. Share that with you. He says, "Had a good meeting last night, now breakfasting. Saul is a brother in the making. He has already confronted a bad marriage in his circle of listeners. They just wanted to hear it from David again. They see it clearly." So, that's a blessing. As they're visiting those in Washington State, the islands off the coast there. San Juan Island or something like that. So, praise the Lord. I think there were going to be 15 or so people gathered, more or less. I don't know if it was last night. I guess it was last night, or maybe today too. So, that's a blessing. Also, David talked to Burton, and he was thinking about coming up there to see them while they were there. So, he didn't know much more than that about him. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for blessing them there in Washington. Please continue to open their hearts and minds to understand the kingdom of God and us too here. Please bless us with your presence and your spirit as we think on you and your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Paul has been being taken here before King Agrippa. We'll start in here in verse 1. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Now why was that a crime? Why was that such a criminal offense? And that's what he was saying. I'm standing here being judged for the very hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. And I've been thinking about that. Some of the brethren have received somehow either a letter or a phone call or whatever from their former church associates that what they have against us is that we emphasize Christ's words even above Paul's. And that would be, I mean, Paul is where we have the teachings of the church and the establishment of the church, they would say. And so our crime in their eyes is that we elevate the words and the teachings of Christ, and that we would even think to put the words of Paul as under Christ, not on the same level with Christ. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad that they're finally accusing us of something that we do rather than living 300 miles from church or something like that, than not fellowshipping with each other or some ridiculous point that isn't even true. But at least at least now they're getting close to figuring us out, I guess. And the thing of it is, I'm not at all apologetic for their accusations. Matter of fact, I embrace that, appreciate that. You know, thinking about this, there are those that among the Amish and among the evangelicals that elevate Paul above Christ, and because either it's they think that it's the format for the church, or that it is the whatever reasons. Some of the reasons are that would support their doctrine of lawlessness, so that they don't have to keep it, because it sounds like Jesus is teaching another law, and so they don't want to do that. And so we're on the street all the time accused of this very thing, that we would teach the teachings of Christ, and people don't even know the teachings of Christ. And we've talked about this a lot. But I thought that, you know, that's kind of like a woman going to the beauty parlor and getting her hair done and everything else fixed all up so she looked pretty for her husband, and then going to the mall and spending his check. That's just about how ridiculous it is to go and learn how to be for Jesus but not do what Jesus said. And we see that in the world all the time. And now it's just an accepted thing. But we're not Paulicians, or whatever the right word to be there. We're not disciples of Paul in that sense. We're not theologians. We're Christians. Hello? I mean, we're Christians. So we do what Christ said. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's just a fundamental... well, yeah, but... And on and on and on it goes. A couple of weeks ago, we had some Judaizers among us. And to which we gave them space for a couple hours. And they proceeded to try to get us to realize that we should be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. They asked, what is our basis for what we tell people? What is your basis for your calling something a sin or not? And we said, well, Christ and the teachings of Christ. Well, Christ and his basis was the law of Moses, they said. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. We declare plainly that we follow Jesus. And I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not even going to try to really explain that. I mean, if Jesus is who he said he was, we're safe in following Jesus. We're not Jews. We're not Judaistic believers. We're not even Messianic Christians. We're just simply Christians. And even that, we're called by other people. Why? Because they did what Christ said. It's a simple principle. We're Christians because we obey God by hearing His Son and following Him. Just that simple. And after all, what's so wrong with saying that a woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives or she lives? Establishing the permanence of marriage. I mean, don't the women and men of the world go from one to the other seeking a lasting relationship? We're saying, make it last. We're saying, it is there. It's permanent. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with loving your enemies and feeding them and not returning evil for evil? Diffusing anger with good. Well, what kind of world would it be like if everybody was like that? Well, it'd be a pretty nice place to be, wouldn't it? Another, hello. It's ridiculous. I mean, it would be peace. What's wrong with not being greedy of gain? Being content and satisfied with food and clothing? And the world strives a lifetime to gain these things. The Christian, at the very onset, sets these things aside and is content, food and raiment, to seek things of value. The world doesn't have to worry about the Christian getting in his way. They'll let him have it. Oh, and what I'm talking about as Christian is real ones. Not the ones that, you know, not the ones that you could probably tell me that led to crusades. That's the first thing that comes out of people's mouth. Well, the Christians went on crusades. No, they didn't. The Christians didn't do that. The Christians didn't kill people. The Christians didn't murder people. The Christians didn't go to war. Well, the Christians are the richest people in the communities. No, they're not. Christians aren't interested in these material wealth. What's wrong with putting away being angry with your brother? Wouldn't have any lawsuits then, would we? What's wrong with humbling ourselves, letting others win, and not making a show of our good deeds, and after we've done all, saying we're yet unprofitable servants? What's wrong with being truthful and not needing to swear, and just because what you say is what you mean, and what you say is trustworthy because of the kind of person you are? I mean, if you swear on the Bible, on the very thing that tells you not to swear, isn't that an oxymoron, or am I using that word wrong? That's an oxymoron. Are you trustworthy if you swear on the Bible that tells you not to swear? You're swearing against your own religion, supposedly. That don't work. What's wrong with not looking on a woman to lust after her? What's wrong with a woman not inciting lust in a man? Well, I guess we wouldn't have too many broken homes if we did that or didn't do that. What's wrong with keeping our hearts pure? What's wrong with taking thankfully from God and not laying up treasures for ourselves against an unknown future, but trusting a God that knows the future? Why is this such criminal things? It's because you have to die to do it. And man inherently hates death. I do too. We all do. But you know what? We're all going to do it. We're all going to do it. Unless Jesus returns, we're all going to do it. And if He returns, it's still going to happen. Some will experience death forever then, anyway, and others will have already died. So we're all going to do it. We're all going to give up. We're all going to surrender. We're all going to die. So really the difference is the Christian has decided to do it beforehand. The Christian has just simply decided to die ahead of time. Because somehow he got enough knowledge and wisdom to know that he's going to do it anyway. So he might as well do it in God's timing and on peaceful terms with God. Elvis Presley once sang a song, and through it all, one of the lines in it, and through it all, I did it my way. Well, a few years later, his way killed him. And your way will kill you. My way will kill me. But Christ's way will give us life. Isn't this wonderful how simple it is? It's not that hard. And even for the unrepentant, it's not that hard. The hard part is doing it and dying. If Abraham would be here today, would he have fellowship with the Sabbatarians? If Moses were here today, would he have fellowship with the Judaizers of the day? Those who believe that they need to be circumcised? Keep the laws that he told the people to keep. Not according to Jesus. He told the Jews, he said, if you're Abraham's seed, you'd rejoice to see my day. And those of you that, I'm not going to judge you, but Moses and whom you trust is going to judge you. Because the reason that they're going to be judged by Moses is because Moses would be following Christ. That in itself is their judgment. Moses would be hearing Jesus. Christians simply do what Christ said. Just like Paul did, just like John did, just like James did, just like Jude did, and whoever else wrote the New Testament after the Gospels. The irony of it is, it's going to sound a little proud probably, but we obey Paul more than they do. We respect what he told us because he followed Christ and was taught of him. Christian has entered the kingdom of God already. That's why it says the kingdom of God is now. Now. That's why it says, he that believeth on me shall not taste of death. Because he gave up his will already. What do you want? A shadow? Or do you want the substance that made the shadow? There are so many religions on each side of Christ. I appreciated Brother Walter the other day saying that at noonday, a man doesn't cast a shadow. If the sun is directly over him, he doesn't cast a shadow. The Jews were observing shadows and types of Christ. And when Christ got here, they rejected him. Largely, most of them did. Almost all of them did. And then some believed later. Many did. Since Christ, we have 2,000 years of shadow on the other side. And it seems like everybody takes their place parking in that shadow and enjoying the shade of it instead of getting a hold of what's causing the shadow. Getting a hold of Him. We don't have to. It's not time sensitive. We didn't have to be there to follow Him. Thankfully, because of witnesses, we didn't have to be there to hear Him. And His Spirit, not just those that heard Him. And because God left in us a conscience, or didn't allow Satan to destroy it completely, we can hear Him. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. You know, we were talking about this last night, among many other things, but if this had been a cunningly devised fable, it wouldn't have had so many inconsistencies, because religion seems to be so smart anymore that they have to make everything systematic. That's the word I was looking for. Systematic. And there's books written on systematic theology so that it bridges all those gaps and it fills all those holes in the Bible. It makes it all coherent or mesh from one end to the other. It makes it all make sense. Well, we don't follow Jesus because He made sense. We follow Him because He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that He is the only way. And we're convinced and we know that He's the Son of God. And I'm encouraged with that thought. It's foolishness to the world. It doesn't make sense to the world, and you're not going to convince them by your systematic theology or your debates with a bunch of Calvinists. That's foolish. The truth has nothing to apologize for. And He was truth manifest in the flesh. Grace, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're either going to believe that or we're not. Textual critics would throw out the Bible, and they have. That's why so many atheists, these little educated guys out of school that are throwing out the Bible, because in one place it says one thing and another place seems to say another thing. Missing God's message. He left those things there to see if we love Him or love a book. He left the brazen serpent on a pole to see if we, the Israelites, would still look to Him or start looking to it. So many copies. We got 2,000 years of copy after copy of a copy of a copy. What do you end up with? If you copy a piece of paper on a copy machine, you copy a written letter, and you copy that one time, pretty nice and clear, usually. But if you copy that copy then, and then that copy, and you do that 100 times, you think it'd be readable? Hardly readable. That's what a lot of Christianity is today. That's why we teach Jesus. That's why we follow Jesus and we respect and hold to the teachings of Christ and the apostles. But in that order. Just like they taught us to be. Just like He taught us. It's a blessing just to read through Acts and other books and just see that, amen, brother. Amen. Agree with what they were saying about Jesus. Agree with what they were saying about salvation. And we even get over to Peter, and when he said some things Paul says are hard to understand, we even say amen to that, brother. But does that throw us away? Does that cast us off? No. That comforts me. Because I know that Peter had some of the same thoughts I do when I read Paul. Does that make our faith void? Because we didn't quite get it all understood. No, it doesn't. See, we're not going to be given a test on how much we knew and just how much we understood it to mean and how our theology all lined up with what Paul said. The test is right now on how we're following Jesus, the one that Paul preached. The test is right now on how we're following Jesus, the one that Moses talked to us about. The test is right now on how we're following Jesus, the one that David prophesied. And the one that all of the patriarchs talked about. Or in one way or in one form or another, prophesied about. And all the prophets that were talking about the things of Christ coming. We're being tested right now. One of the most tormenting thoughts, I think, will be in hell is the thought of the very things they strove for, or striving to live for, or trying to get, they rejected. Because they rejected the one who gives it. Rejecting it. Because they wanted it their way. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 14. This was Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice after the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the believers there spoke the wonderful works of God in many other languages, preaching God and Christ to those around them. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith of himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. I say amen to that. And I'd say that to all the house of Jacob Ammon, and all the house of Menno Simons, and all the house of Martin Luther, and Augustine, and any of the others, and all of the others. I don't care who they are. Let them all know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom the Jews ripped his body apart. Well, this same Jesus that you're tearing apart his body, the church, hath made both Lord and Christ. And he'll come again. And he's going to judge this world. And he's going to judge all this division making and all this nonsense that was supposed to not even happen, because another oxymoron, loving one another and agreeing with each other and forbearing one another and calling yourselves Christians. I'm not saying all these men necessarily, whoever they are, were not trying to follow Christ, but I'm talking about the houses that named themselves after them, in particular, some of the men themselves, or the schools that call themselves after them are trying to figure out their doctrines. I'm determined to follow Jesus. No matter what. And I have to determine that every day. Every day. And you do too. You want to be content with a shadow? Right down there, turn the corner, and there's the church on the right. There's a big one down here, across from the grocery store. And they're all over town, and every town. We want to teach the substance here. We want to uphold the substance. We want to believe it. We want to stand for it. And by the grace of God, and all the power that He can give us, we're going to do just that. We're going to do just that. I'll close with Colossians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Moses wasn't even mentioned. Paul wasn't even talking about himself. He was talking about Jesus, God. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. This made sense to him, didn't it? I mean, what else was he going to do? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that's exactly what we've had. A spoiled gospel that we've had to wade through and get out of it. And now we're just beginning to see what it's really like to live out the kingdom. We're just beginning to see that. There are things that the Bible talks about, the New Testament talks about, that we haven't really experienced yet. We don't know it, even as a group. We haven't got there yet. We're just beginning to see these things, see how these things work. Something that I've never seen in churches before. Like what? Well, I'll just give you a few ideas what I mean. Like, and I'm not promoting or demoting this, but I'm just saying as an example, a young man giving his life for God, choosing not to marry. I think, or a sister doing that. We see that already in the Bible. But I didn't see it where I come from. I think in a church of that's alive for God, we ought to see some of that. Not necessarily the norm. Not necessarily everybody at all. I'm not saying that. But there ought to be, in a church of any size, there ought to be people that are... I mean, Jesus said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. There ought to be life. It ought to be produced. There ought to be people giving up everything they own among us. I mean, almost everything but the clothes on their back. But now, don't take this, some of you young men, and run with this, because this is what happens when somebody preaches something. The wrong people hear the right things. Listen to what you should be listening, and ask your fathers or your elders or your brethren or whatever about things. The very people who need to give it all don't need to give it all, or think they need to give it all don't. I don't know. But anyway, take it for what it is to you. And don't just... That's the sad part. And that's why I didn't know if I wanted to mention those things. The church taking care of a family. We're just beginning to see those things. Because they don't have a father. What's it going to be like in years to come when we have a sister that's above the age of 60 taken into the number? What number? What's that mean? I don't know yet for sure. I got some ideas. Or the order of widows history talks about. What was their ministry? I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? We've just been trying to get back to the foundation so we can get to where they even were then. It's exciting. It's the kingdom of God. Press into it. Let's read on. As ye have therefore received Christ... verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him, this Christ that we're talking about, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is it right to worship Jesus Christ? It's wrong not to. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. This is the death we're talking about here. The taking up your cross and following Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. I'm going to give you my interpretation here of let no man therefore judge you. I think that means don't give anyone a reason to say that you're keeping the law of Moses by your being careful of meats you eat, drinks you drink, or respecting holy days, or keeping the new moon or the Sabbath days. Don't give them a reason to judge you in those things by observing them. Okay? If you read several other versions, they'd bear that out, I think. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That's what we're talking about. You want a shadow? Or do you want the person? Shadows are pretty empty. They're pretty dark. They're kind of hazy. Shadowy. Gray. It's your choice. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not? Why are ye submitting yourselves to rules that tell you do and don't do that Christ didn't even talk about, or the apostles? Why are you... I mean, you know what you're not... You know where you're not supposed to go. You know what you're not supposed to say. You know how you're supposed to dress. I mean, we need some guidance in that sometimes, but he's talking about all of the laws that the Judaizers were trying to bring them under here. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. One version says, instead they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. Not, in other words, King James there, not in any honor, but they serve to the satisfying of the flesh. That's what other versions think. That's what that means. But anyway, we get the idea here. We need the substance. We need the Lord Himself. And if we're going to settle for anything less than that, that's what you're going to have. And I think you're here because you don't want to do that. I'm here because I don't want to do it. But sometimes, if we're not reminded from time to time, we kind of start easing back into the shadows. Easing back into the shadows instead of dwelling in the substance. Let's live in the substance. Let's live in Christ. And let's rejoice in that. When someone says, well, they don't look at the Bible as a flat book. You're right, we don't. We follow Jesus. And let all the Bible point to Him. Well, they put the words of Christ over the words of Paul. Yeah, just like Paul did. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. So, brethren, continue to be guilty in these things. And the God of peace bless you. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for Jesus, the pinnacle, the paramount of our faith. Amen. Open it up for comments. Anyone? That's why we have fellowship with the early Anabaptists when we read them. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Amen. Didn't say hear them, He said hear Him. Amen. I appreciate you bringing that up. Anyone else? That's what the Jews were doing. This same Jesus, or Paul was saying, I'm brought in question for their very hope. That's the same thing. See, we're questioned because the very same thing they say they're believing. We're just simply saying, yeah, I believe that too. That's why I'm doing what he said.
And
Right. I would encourage you, brother, I just encourage you to comment. I mean, you don't have to spend a long time and long discourses, but after the message, because you bless your brethren when you do that, your other brethren, each other. It's an encouragement. We're together. We're all brethren. Yeah, we preach. But really, our preaching to you is things you already like to hear, and encourages you usually, and you know that's the goal, is to encourage you, and we can be encouraged with one another too. I just want to encourage that a little bit. So anyone else?
You say you like to hear? Sometimes they would preach things that I really
following. Amen. Well, and that's what I mean. We want that. That's what I meant. We like that. The world doesn't like that. That's the difference, I'm saying.
Because we're not here
just saying,
oh,
this
is hard.
Oh, no. I know it's real. Amen.
I appreciate bringing that passage up in Colossians, because it just seems like whatever side we're being accused, you know, a right accusation, but with a completely wrong conclusion, you're being naughty, basically, because you're following what Jesus said. You know, whether it's from those of the Augustinian camp, Martin Luther and Calvin, or the other side of the, you know, whatever, the Judaizers or some of the people that say, you know, you need to wear black socks or shoes or whatever. In this translation, the EOV, he says, it just is so clear. He says, you know, let no one judge you in the matter of eating or drinking or regarding feast days or new moons or Sabbath days. It is just a shadow thing to come, but the body belongs to Christ.
Amen.
And then he goes on, let no one rob you of your prize by false humility, this fake righteousness.
Amen.
And it's just like Paul was, he was saying to, like, we say this all the time, you know, but we say to people, Paul wasn't building up a theology. All he was doing was encouraging people to not go back to Judaism. The very thing that you evangelicals are really embracing,
right,
is Judaism. Don't Paul would have been like, get out of those churches.
Right.
You have false humility. You think you're so pious because you go and cry and raise your hand and get divorced and say, well, I'm righteous because I'm trusting in the blood of Christ. That's a lie.
Amen.
You're robbing yourself of the prize. You know, and it's just like, he's not running.
Amen.
Right. It's not like he's speaking against us at all. People go and oppose Paul as against us. That's,
I know,
a lie.
Woman hater.
You know, that, I just really appreciate you bringing that passage.
And he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't take, don't touch, Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desire.
Yeah. Example.
They have a show of.
Right. One example of that is I was part of a church that required black cars. Well, yeah, you had to have a plain color, a black color. But some of the cars they would buy and paint black looked way fancier after they were black than they did when they were tan or gray or white or whatever. I mean, it's just that was, and the I mean, you can have, still keep your pride and drive a nice black car and be right into that law, right under that rule, and still keeping it. That's why it doesn't check the flesh. It just won't. Your flesh actually can reign, I mean, really good and live very healthily under those rules.
It still indulges the flesh.
Right. So are we saying be lawless? No. We're saying Christ. We're saying, we're not going to put a law on what kind of car you can buy. You know what you need to have. And if you question yourself a little bit, go ask a brother.
Questions about how do you do this? How do you handle things in the church? And I spoke about Brother Benjamin and how when he was a young man who began to read what Christ said about riches, and he became convinced that this is what Christ means and the actions that he took and what happened and how wife took his children and his blessings. And I said, when somebody begins to understand what Christ is saying and embraces it and follows it,
amen. You know, if you're dead, you're dead. I mean, those.
And the proof is, if you do that, you've got to be rejected from your close most times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe I shouldn't say it, but right. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why he was rejected of his very other half, because he's
still alive. Amen. I mean, do we have to tell anybody not to have I don't even know what to call them anymore. Is there such a thing as a Camaro Super Sport? Okay. Do we have to tell anybody not to have a candy apple red Camaro Super Sport out here in the parking lot? I mean, wouldn't that be silly? If you want to have one of those, have it. But don't claim to be Christ and love the world. I mean, those things don't agree. So, see, that's what... We're following Christ. He's not about that stuff. We have cars to get from here to there. It's just simple. Anyone else?
Well, furthermore, you don't want to fence in the goats.
What's that?
I said, furthermore, you don't want to fence in the goats.
Amen. That's what I meant. Have one, but it'll tell on you. I mean, it'll just be plain. Everybody knows what you're about. If you get a, you know, what you're living for comes out. And that's why the rules are counterproductive.
How do you deal with the problem that if the
Go run to the neighbors and get the neighbors upset. Oh. Well, I guess ask the neighbor what he's going to do about your goat. Tell him if it gets on there again, take care of him. I mean,
neighbors might go over here.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just appreciate the message and just more of just following Christ and you know, it's the Christian world is just so, I mean, you just wonder how it happened that the Christian movement doesn't know what Christ taught. And how did that happen? And how did we come up with this other thing? And, you know, and say Jesus never talked about salvation or something like that. Or, you know, or, it's just, I just appreciate it. Because it seems like it's what we're up against all the time along the streets. People are just oblivious. They call themselves Christians, but they have no idea what Christ taught. And then I don't have to do those things because I've been saved. It's just, I just really appreciate that. The fight. Stand for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
If you think about that, just like Christ, not saying anything about salvation. He is the salvation.
Amen. Amen. He is the salvation, Joe said. He didn't have to do a lot of talking about it. He is salvation. A man asked us last night, "What? When do y'all meet? On Sunday?" Yeah, oh, why don't you start going to the Sabbath? I mean, why aren't you observing the Sabbath? I said, we live in continual observance of the Sabbath. We don't give Him just 10%. We give Him everything. Every day is the Lord. We're walking in the Sabbath. We observe it every day. All of our substance is Christ. And he said, yeah, that's right.
I'm with you on that.
I'm with you on that. Okay. So, and about the goats, we want them out anyway. So they can go to the neighbors. Okay. Well, anyone else?
I just want to say something. When we get together, like an example of the work we look around and see, we come together for one cause and just think how great and wonderful it is. You know, we don't know how big the church is throughout the world, but we're all coming together for one cause and how blessed that is.
Amen. Yeah, that was a bless you, brethren, for those that could help and did help yesterday and at Dale's work bee. That was a blessing to have the roof on. But there is some more to do, but that's a blessing if you can make it to just to help one another, and it's such an encouragement to each other and the one you're working for, I trust. So, alright, well, Lord bless you, and we'll see you again at 6, Lord willing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What?
Are we meeting here tonight? Yeah. It's too rainy, I think. It's supposed to rain this evening. Yeah. Here tonight, 6 o'clock. Lord bless you.